The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you into fantasy sports like we are? It's time to get the inside scoop on the sport and how it affects your team. This is Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. It's a hard look at the transactions, the injuries, free agents, and starters. And the best part is, you get to ask the experts so you can win. Now, here's Dish Adams.
Here we are, live, back from a long hiatus. You guys probably thought I was kicked off the air after we discussed masturbation at work on the last episode and found out that a lot more people are doing it. One out of every five women, don't forget it, one out of every five women at your office does it at the office. Yeah, and the sex numbers are even higher. I looked at some stats like that. It's crazy. You people are crazy. I still hate the NBA, although I do like Ramon Sessions. I finally got to see him play. You know I'm boycotting the NBA, but I'm conflicted about it because I don't know if it's the right methodology based on why I'm boycotting. We'll talk about that slightly. Or I guess I should say I'll talk about it because I don't think anybody's here. So the conversation with me and you, you the listener, should I be like Vin Scully? And on a day, well, anyway, that's my Vin. I can do a pretty good Vin Scully. I can do the Gibson call. It's a deep fly ball to right field. She is gone. And in a season of the improbable, the impossible has happened. Oh, nothing better than that. Vin Scully rules. Dodgers, very happy to see McCourt go. They're sure playing well. We haven't discussed Kentucky and Coach Calipari. Seems like forever ago that game occurred. I'll weigh in a little bit about that. After draft report for Fantasy Insights, getting ready. It'll be out after the draft next week. I'll be tweeting live during the draft and updating our player news live. We'll discuss Fantasy Insights and some exciting things we're doing this year. Voluntary workouts have begun for the NFL. Forte is sitting them out. Chris Johnson is participating. Maurice Jones-Drew sitting them out. Very unhappy with his contract, just like Forte. And I don't blame him after the year he had last year and the crap that they've surrounded with him with for so long. He deserves to be upset. Saints gate is just getting worse and worse, and I don't like that they put Joe Vitt at top. Again, it's been a while since we've been on. That recording of Greg Williams that everybody's screaming bloody murder over, get over it, come on. Every locker room, from Pop Warner to pro, same talk. Now, where he went wrong was where he started talking about art of intentionally injuring people. But when he says a guy has a concussion, hit him in the head, a guy's got a sore ankle, hit him in the ankle, a guy's got a sore knee, hit him in the knee, they do that everywhere. Come on. Don't make more of it than it is. They just got caught. That's why it's bad. You know, you think Bobby Petrino would have stopped having his affair with a 25-year-old had he not gotten a motorcycle crash? See, that's when your wife comes up to you and finds you and says, hey, you got in a motorcycle crash and there's a 25-year-old little co-ed on your bike. What's the story? And she'll say, who are you? And you claim amnesia. I fell off a motorcycle. What do you expect from me? I can't remember anything. I don't know what she was doing there. Maybe she needed a ride. Maybe she was homeless. Maybe she had to go to the hospital. I don't know. I have amnesia. Don't ask me. No, maybe it will work. Anyway, Andrew Luck, the consensus number one pick, the Colts have informed him he will be number one, and every NFL GM surveyed of 19, every year they survey 19 of them, ranked Luck the number one pick. That's very rare. Robert Griffin had 18 out of 19 number two votes. Who's the number three pick? That's going to be the big question. Is it Ryan Khalil? Is it Claiborne? Is it Trent Richardson? Not when you have Adrian Peterson, even though he's coming off an injury. Should they trade the pick? I think so. We'll do some mock drafting. Donovan McNabb thinks he's a Hall of Famer. At first, I heard that, I thought it was, did I just burp? I think I just burped on the air. Did you guys like that? Did you mind if I expose some burps? Maybe he is a Hall of Famer. At first, I thought it was ridiculous. Okay, now I got the hiccups. What's going on? What a day to be without a host. Hey, it's never a good day to be without a host. But to be without a co-host on a day like today when, A, I can't speak. I've been moving. I was up till 2 in the morning, up at 5 in the morning, all that crap. Oh, nothing worse than moving. But I think McNabb might be a Hall of Famer, and I'll tell you why. Time to start on Fantasy Value 2012. Peyton Manning's impact on the Denver Broncos. RG3's impact on Santana Moss and the boys. Saints' impact of the suspensions. Bears and Brandon Marshall. Matt Light, the tackle who has guarded Tom Brady's blindside, is now gone. He's retiring. Broncos Steelers, that'll be the first Sunday night game this year. Can't wait for that. Rematch. A little bit of a different crowd on the field. Peyton Manning instead of Tim Tebow. Breakout stars. Breakout stars for 2012. I'm looking at A.J. Green. Get your pen. A.J. Green is at Larry Fitzgerald's receiver camp. Eric Decker working his butt off with Peyton Manning. Matt Flynn, you already know I love him in Seattle. Roy Helu in Washington, still very high on him. And then the two rookies I like for immediate fantasy success are Trent Richardson, assuming he goes to Cleveland, but doesn't matter where he goes, and RG3. RG3 is gonna put up great fantasy numbers because he's mobile. He'll get his rushing yards. But more importantly, he is a mobile quarterback with a great ability to throw on the run. And modern-day NFL, that leads to fantasy success. Fantasy Insights Radio, back for another week of sports, steak, and the sexes. And I think we'll start with steak. Well, it's not really steak, and I don't know quite what to make of this. But the internet is all abuzz over the fact that Obama, when he was in Indonesia, and I don't know any of the details really behind this, but basically he ate dog. Yeah, he ate dog. Yuck. I mean, I don't know. I bring this dog thing up only because the Democrats have been so crazy about Mitt Romney putting the family dog on the roof for a trip in the kennel or something. Now, as I understand it, Mitt Romney has a family dog. He's a dog lover. And back in the day when car seats weren't required and seat belts were not illegal and we smoked in the same car with children in the back seat because we didn't know things we know now, it was generally accepted that animals were second-class citizens. And it was okay to take your animal somewhere on the roof of your car as long as he was secured properly. Now, you can't pull the Cousin Eddie from Vacation. Actually, I guess it was Clark who did it. Did Clark kill the grandma or just the dog? I think he killed the dog. Remember he left the dog leashed to the back of the car and it was dragging down the road and they were telling me it was a sick and twisted individual? Oh, nothing better than Chevy Chase back then. I feel sorry for all of you who don't know what I'm talking about right now. And it's, you know my young wife, I talked about how she hasn't seen Trading Places and City Slickers and movies like that, but, you know, this is another one of those good ones. So anyway, Obama ate a dog. And not a dog, he ate dog. And again, where are all my liberal friends on this? Where's PETA? Is PETA going to change their endorsement now? The president didn't wear dog skin, but he ate dog. And where are my liberal dog park friends on this? Where are y'all? Call me. 888-346-9144. Anybody. Here's where I come in on this. I personally am a food chain guy. So it doesn't really bother me. I mean, yeah, we shouldn't eat a dog. But it doesn't bother me as much as I thought it might. And here's why. I'm a food chain guy. I'm not really that big on animals in general. Okay? I'm just not. Like, a dead animal to me is sad, but it just doesn't elicit the same type of emotional response. Now, and don't get me wrong. I don't want to see animal cruelty. I'm not an ogre. I'm not really much into pets, and I don't have a pet because I know a pet requires great care. If you don't want to leave the pet's dump on your neighbor's lawn, you have to pick it up yourself. I like animals that are docile and sweet, and they stay out of the way, and they shit outside. That's my requirement for a good animal. But really, when it comes to food, I will eat anything that I have a hankering for. Now, I know people who go to Japan and they eat horse, and they could say, oh, well, he was in Indonesia. They eat dog there. But, I mean, so what? If you went somewhere and they ate human, you wouldn't eat it. If they ate horse, you wouldn't eat it. It's, you know, a moral thing. We don't eat dog in America, the American culture. But this just proves he's not an American. He's Indonesian. I'm not saying he's not legally the president. I'm not a birther. I just realistically think he should be the president. That's fine. He won the presidency, but let's be realistic. He didn't grow up in America. He's not culturally the same as people who grew up here. He just has a different view of the world. When you don't grow up in America, you have a different worldview than you do when you grow up in America. And anybody who disputes that, well, anyway. So here's my thing. I don't know the story. I mean, you know, maybe if it's death or dog, I probably will be sautéing Fluffy with fava beans and a nice Chianti. But short of that, I don't see myself eating dog. And this just gets me thinking, you know, look, like I said, food chain. I mean, I don't get broken up about eating beef and seeing slaughtered animals and all that stuff because I know one thing. If aliens were to come down to this planet and our skin looked like it might keep them warm at night and our femur looked like it might be a succulent bone to have a good meat drumstick on, we'd be getting cooked and we'd be getting tanned. Okay? And they wouldn't think one thing about it as they were sucking our guts out while we're screaming bloody murder because they don't even have the decency to kill us first. We'll get ours. I don't know how I rolled off on this tangent, but you know the show is about sports, steak, and the sexes. And one of the causes this show has talked about quite often is the pink slime. And you saw that Burger King now got rid of the pink slime. McDonald's got rid of the pink slime. And one of the things that I thought was really funny is I saw the worst five burgers in the country for you. And one of the worst mainstream burgers, it's the Whopper with cheese, and then the Five Guys bacon cheeseburger. Those are horrible for you. Horrible. But the worst burger for you, which is somehow supposed to be a healthy burger, is the Chili's Jalapeno Bacon Smokehouse Burger. Oh, my God, does that sound amazing. Wouldn't you love a Chili's Jalapeno Bacon Smokehouse Burger right now? Just jam it into your face. Shove it in down, right into your grill. That sounds so good. Oh, you can just, it sounds like you got the sauce dripping on your hands because it's just so juicy and delicious. Chili's is not bad. And by the way, best airport cuisine ever, Chili's 2, T-O-O. Fantasy Insights Radio, somehow I've managed to babble to the first break. Those of you who listen to the show to hear me talk to other people, hang up, stop listening, go away. It's just me. I'm having my own time. I will get into some fantasy football when we get back after Matt's musical stylings and a little bit of hubbub.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
We some hard hitters. We some hard hitters.
Hard Hitting Radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard Hitting Radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
If you're looking for a radio show about boxing, you usually can't find one.
until you stop by the Voice America Sports Channel. Tune in to Outside the Ring with former world lightweight champion and U.S. Olympian David Diaz. We'll deliver the knockout punches with our guests as we go inside the minds of today's top fighters. We'll throw in discussion of other sports as well from time to time. Outside the Ring with David Diaz airs every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bench his ass and move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, speak up.
Speak up
or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
I wonder how good that smokehouse burger is. What's the best burger you ever had? I'd still go with Umami Burger. I think Umami's great. I learned some other gross stuff about food during some research. Did you know that canned and frozen berries, they are allowed to have 60% of those berries are allowed to have mold on them, according to the FDA? 60%! So just buy fresh. And here's what's really disturbing, especially for those of us who live in California. Now, apparently, this is the stuff you don't know. Even when you're eating healthy, you're not eating healthy. Lettuce is irrigated by the Colorado River in most California farms, and that has a component to it that is an element much like rocket fuel, and therefore is a carcinogen and increases chance for cancer. Fantastic. Fantastic. Now I'm going to go eat a salad. Just go eat a dog like the president. You'll be fine. They're on a healthy diet of yams. I-A-M-S, is that what it is? Food choices are hard nowadays, really. So I'd be remiss if I didn't discuss the fact that our Secret Service is having hooker orgies in Colombia. Now I get it. I'm married to a Latin woman. Nothing like the Latin women. Oh, boy. Latin women. I mean, look, Miss Universe, there's always some form of spicy. She's either South American or Latin American or Spanish. I mean, you know, come on. Latin women are the hottest, there's no doubt. Craziest, but the hottest. Directly proportional. I think, actually, if you think about it, crazy and pretty are directly proportional. The prettier, the crazier. The uglier, the more normal. Now, maybe when I say normal, the craziness is not like, you know, outward craziness, it's internal craziness. You know, being obsessed with the fact that you're ugly. I go through this, I know. I'm an ugly guy, but I've convinced myself I'm good looking. And I've decided that whether or not I'm good looking doesn't matter. I'm married to a gorgeous woman. So anyway, I don't know how we got on this, but this Secret Service thing, again, another example of getting caught. Stupid. Just stupid. Stupid. And you know what? Memo men, okay? Look at Bobby Petrino and how he got caught. Car accident with the girl on the bike. Just one of those things that leads to information you didn't want. Do you know how this broke out? They were negotiating over the bill with one of the hookers. Now, I'm no genius. In fact, some say I'm quite dumb. Dan Rose is one of them. But if I am trying to make sure nobody knows that I'm having a hooker party with 30 Colombian prostitutes, I am going to take care of that bill quietly, effectively, and honestly. Do you really think they were spending their own money? It's a government freaking check. What do you care? If you're going to take the taxpayer dollar and get laid with it, which honestly, I'd much rather be spending money to get our Secret Service laid so they can protect the president than it would have half a dozen of the other dumb causes we have to put money into. I don't really have a problem with this. I don't. So some Secret Service guys used a little bit of cash to have sex with some girls in Colombia. The guy jumps in front of a bullet for the president, for Christ's sake. Let him have sex with a hooker. Who cares? But just pay the lady next time. You know, this is the problem. We have to deal with it. I mean, this is the kind of shit. This is why marriages break up. Because they get caught. And when you get caught, it becomes public. When it's public, you have to act. If nobody knows, plausible deniability. When somebody knows, everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's some song, isn't it? Dick Clark is gone. R.I.P. Dick Clark. He's an icon. Now, we knew Dick was really losing it last year, unfortunately, when he missed 7 in the countdown. Oh, boy, I'm sorry, but remembering it makes me laugh. 10, 9, 8, 6. Oh, man. Are we really going to have to put up with Ryan Seacrest being the guy who drops the ball now? I mean, come on. I like Ryan Seacrest as much as the next guy, but he's not Dick Clark. Dick Clark was cool. Dick Clark was rocking. He had rocking New Year's Eve. He was 80 years old. He still looked like he was 50. He was still having sex with 22-year-olds. I just made that part up. He looked good enough to do it, though. But, you know, he's going to be missed. Dick Clark is an icon. And people don't even realize Dick Clark Entertainment, how much he did for the music business and just for the entertainment business in general. I mean, Ryan Seacrest really is the closest thing to modern-day Dick Clark. But he was a star maker. That movie, The Idol Maker, they say loosely it's based on Dick Clark, him and Ed Sullivan. Good movie, by the way. Cesare, played by Peter Gallagher, you remember that? The only actor was the lead actor. It wasn't Roy Scheider. It was a guy who has a name like that, Roy something or other. But I forget his name, but he was great. And then there was Tommy D. I've been up, I've been down. I've been played with and pushed around. Remember that? I've been in, I've been out. Here is my love. And he grabs his crotch. Right? The Idolmaker. You didn't see that movie? Come on. Another one of those movies. You guys have no sense of history. Go watch The Idolmaker. It's one of the best music films. They should remake it. They really should remake that movie. All right. What do you say we talk some football? I was going to bring up this museum, the Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia, which they opened in Michigan, which is basically every racist thing you could possibly see on display, and they say it's to raise awareness, but there's a big uproar. And then there's a Bollywood actress who two actors on the set with her invited her to go to the mountains on some vacation. They were acting in the film with her, and they had heard her boasting of her wealth, her family's wealth, and so they tried to... They kidnapped her basically at that point, and they tried to extract $1.6 million from her parents. They ended up getting $60,000, and they beheaded her. They beheaded her. I think they strangled her first, so it wasn't a beheading murder, but they beheaded the body. Disgusting people. Bollywood's no better than Hollywood. All right. What's hot now in the NFL draft? Maybe that's what we ought to talk about. Everybody's pretty clear that Andrew Luck is going first. The Colts have said it. RG3 is going second. We know this. The third pick is where things get interesting. Now, if you're Minnesota, you've got a young quarterback in Christian Ponder, who is really the second best quarterback on your roster because Joe Webb is better. Stop laughing, Dan Rose. It's true, and you'll see this year. Hey, I talked to the Moneyball guy, and the Moneyball guy told me Joe Webb should be starting. So I agree. In any event, the third pick, arguably... The best talent is Trent Richardson, number 3. But the Vikings aren't going to take him with Toby Gerhardt filling in for Adrian Peterson until Peterson comes back. What the Vikings need, they could use a left tackle, so Khalil is a no-brainer if they hold the pick. But my feeling is the Vikings are far away. They're far away, and they should trade that pick. Because a lot of teams will trade up to get Tannehill, and some teams might even trade up to get Richardson. Whoever drafts Justin Blackmon is the dumb team at the draft. There is nothing this guy has shown on tape The only thing he has to support him is his college performance. And before you say that's a ridiculous statement, let me explain. Because it is a ridiculous statement on its face. At 6 foot tall, being the fastest guy in the field, with pro moves, you are going to torch every opponent you play in an offense that throws the ball 60 times a game. I mean, come on. Let's be honest. For him to have 5 catches, 80 yards, and a touchdown in the offense he was playing in is a bare minimum. So the fact that he had several 8-catch, 120-plus, 2-touchdown-plus games, I don't put stock in his college performance. I put stock in his athleticism matched with that performance, and his athleticism is not off the charts. Not at all. He's not a A.J. Green. He's not a Denarius Thomas. He's not a Julio Jones. He's just not. He's not big like those guys. He's 6 feet tall, and that makes him a slot receiver. And I don't know that he is tough enough to be a slot receiver. I believe that this guy has one speed only. It's 100%. It's fast, and it's vertical. But I don't know that he has the separation ability and the route-running ability to justify a top-10 pick, although every team he's visited is the top-10, and he's likely going to get picked in the top-10. But I'm telling you right now, it's a mistake. And from a fantasy perspective, I won't go near him. So the third pick is the first place where the Vikings really should trade out. They should trade out because they need a lot. They don't just need a tackle. And the Patriots, interestingly, might be interested in that third pick to get Khalil now that Todd Late has retired. But Khalil is clearly the number three talent on the board there for what they have. And then at number four come the Cleveland Browns. How do you not take Trent Richardson at that number four pick? Unless you believe you can get David Wilson, the running back from Virginia Tech at 22, which I don't think you're going to get, then you can think about it. But then who are you going to take? You already got Joe Thomas. You're not going to take Khalil. You're going to take Blackman because you need a receiver. Big mistake. Take Richardson now. Take Stephen Hill at 22 or Jeffrey from South Carolina. You could always get a receiver later, just like fantasy. If I'm Cleveland, I'm also looking at Ryan Tannehill. I mean, they're calling him a better version of Jay Cutler, a more precise Jay Cutler, a more refined Jay Cutler. I know he's only played 15 games. He's got the talent level. He's got the pedigree. He played receiver. He knows every position on the field. He's an athlete. So Cleveland's really making a mistake, I think, by not drafting him on one perspective. But to me, Trent Richardson's the player. He's the player they have to take because they need a running back. You can't go into the season with Montario Hardesty and Chris Agabayana as your backs. Trent Richardson in Cleveland could be what Peyton Hillis should have been. And then I would take a guard or a tackle with that 22 pick, and I would stay away from receivers. With Norris improving, with Greg Little there, I think they're going to be okay at receiver with another year. Yeah, they can get somebody in the second or third round. Moving down the list, after Richardson, it becomes a free-for-all. Richardson's going to Tampa if he doesn't go to Cleveland. Tannehill's going to Miami if nobody takes him before then, although Kansas City's rumored to call in on him. A lot of linemen. My favorite lineman, the one can't-miss lineman to me in this draft, I mean, Khalil's a can't-miss, obviously. The other can't-miss lineman to me is the guard, David DeCastro. And I think he did such a number that he improved the stock of Martin. And you saw Mike Adams, the tackle from Ohio State, test positive for marijuana at the combine, so that's going to hurt his draft stock. But yeah, I think this guy is it. Guys that I'm looking at in the first round or maybe second round, drawing attention, I think the guy that's drawing the Jimmy Graham comparisons right now, Cody Fleener. I'm very reluctant to foray into the tight ends after my Lance Kendricks experience last year. But Cody Fleener has all the same tools that Jimmy Graham has. Should end up in a good situation. And he's probably the number one tight end on the board. Now, another guy I like, and it's going to depend to see where he ends up, but I really like the big back from Boise State, Martin. And I believe that he, in the right situation, a ground and pound, thunder and lightning, he could actually be the Giants' answer to losing Brandon Jacobs. He could be a good short yardage play for the Dallas Cowboys, could use him, with DeMarco Murray injury prone. Pittsburgh could use him, even though they've got Redmond, they might want to take a quicker back. And certainly Miami, even though Daniel Thomas is there, I really don't think they have a power back anymore. So those are the situations where we could see that happening. Now, there's a lot of O-line and D-line. And Matt, you know, I'm looking at the board. How long ago did you put that 1 minute up there? Matt put 1 minute on the board. It might have been 30 minutes ago. I don't know. So, Fantasy Insights Radio with Matt's musical stylings taking us right on out.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
What does building a family mean to you? Nobody has experienced the pain and joy of family life in a way that Freddie Scott has. And his experiences in life, in sports, and business can help you create a successful family future. We'll cover many aspects of family building and management with a focus on fatherhood. Men and women want their families to succeed during these tough times. Our show will give you hope for the future and practical tools for a successful family. Tune in to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Sports.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on, it will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It Old School, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone, where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
All right, here we are talking a little football. How's that? Is that nice? All right, let's talk about the quarterbacks right now. I'm going to go through the whole class. You know what? Screw the draft. Who cares? Do we really care yet? Do you really like mock drafts? Why do people like mock drafts? I look at them every once in a while, and I just don't think they're that great. They don't turn me on at all. I see them. I see that it's, you know, they have this guy's going here, that guy's going there. I mean, it's all conjecture, projection, but let's talk about first what we think is the big deal and who the breakout players are next year, because that's what matters. And let me tell you why. Eric Decker, that's the first guy we're going to discuss. Now, it's obvious Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker are going to have an easier time putting up fantasy numbers because Peyton Manning's there. But Eric Decker has been working out with Peyton Manning on a daily basis for 3 weeks. And Peyton Manning has a great deal of confidence in him already. What the coaching staff has decided is that Decker is doing such a good job and showing such a good attitude and proved himself to be such a gamer last year that they are going to move him all around the formation. So he will be lining up in the slot. He'll be lining up wide. They might even do some H-back stuff with him, getting him into the backfield a little bit. And my feeling is with Peyton Manning there, when Peyton Manning decides you're the guy, you are the guy. And you do, as a function of having him as a quarterback, Decker's got to be a top 20 receiver, maybe even top 10. So that's that. Matt Flynn. Now, there's talk that Seattle might even look at Ryan Tannehill because Pete Carroll loves him. But why do you go sign Matt Flynn and then do that? So I think this is just, again, more conjecture. Matt Flynn, in two starts that I know of, both starts, gets rid of the ball on time, has good footwork, knows how to look through his progressions, and put up amazing statistical performances. Those are facts. In fact, a record passing yards for the Packers. Now, Matt Flynn is a top 12 quarterback in my book already. After I see him play in the preseason and see how he fits in that offense and how they're using him, I believe he can move up as high as top 7 or 8. I don't think there's any guarantee that some of the traditional guys like, you know, is a guy like Jay Cutler better than him? No, I don't think so. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, he could be right below that top tier of Breeze, Rodgers, Manning, Newton, Romo. You know, there's Vic is up there. But, I mean, I think he's I'm sure I missed one of the studs of the league right there. I'm just reciting from the top of my head. But Brady, of course. But I really believe that this kid is top 10. And you know, I was saying it last year. In fact, I remember I got a lot of grief. Because one of the challenges said, pick up Matt Flynn. He's going to be starting somewhere next year. And people thought he was going to be starting, not starting somewhere. Everybody called in and told me I'm stupid because they said Matt Flynn's going to be starting. Well, who's stupid now? Roy Helu. Hello, Helu. I really like Roy Helu. Now, Evan Royster pushed him last year at the end of the year. But I don't see how you don't come into this season with Helu as your lead back and Royster as the backup. Now, you're always going to have the danger of the Shanahan committee. But with Griffin, Helu picking up those blitzes, roll it out, throw the ball. Watching the Redskins play is going to be a lot more exciting than me talking about them right now. I guarantee that. I think Trent Richardson's a breakout star. I don't care where he goes. I feel this guy is the best talent at running back since Adrian Peterson came out. It's just my personal opinion. But keep in mind, I'm usually pretty good with running backs. I had Priest Holmes. That was how I gained my Dish Adams fame initially. At the grab bag, telling everybody to pick up Priest Holmes before he became Priest Holmes. That's where it started for me with running backs, and I've always been able to identify the running backs. Am I a mess today or what? If ever a day for a co-host. I don't even have water here. So I'm parched. I might have to just put the phone down, tell you to listen to some music and go at it. But like I said, it's just something that when you look at the running backs in the field, Trent Richardson, even when Mark Ingram was on that Alabama team, Richardson was more productive per carry. And if you would watch them play, he looked like the better runner. Ingram was a senior. He's a talent. He's a great runner and a great man, but he really is a great man. I watched some interviews with him on the Heisman stuff. I really was pleased to see that he was the first guy to bring that Heisman to Alabama. By the way, if none of you saw that documentary that's rolling around on either ESPN3 or NFL Network or maybe even Big Ten Network, it might have even been on, or maybe ESPNU, but it's Auburn-Alabama, the rivalry. It's fantastic. It's really a fantastic show, going back all through the history of that rivalry. Gave me a new appreciation, and I usually watch at least the second half of that game, but this year I'm going to watch the whole game. It inspired me. So Roy Helu, I do think, is a candidate to break out. I talked about Trent Richardson, I think, is a candidate to break out. And then I'm going to, in year one, RG3. I think RG3 definitely has the pedigree, and any of you who have not watched John Gruden's quarterback camp, you can go there on YouTube and find it online with RG3. It's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, this guy is so eloquent. He just knows everything that is going on the field. He is a good citizen, a good person off the field. He's got his priorities straight. He's going to study film very hard. He's going to work hard, and his athletic ability is going to inspire that team. So I also like Pierre Garçon with Griffin because Garçon could make a double move and Griffin will get the ball downfield. All right. That's what we've got for the fantasy breakout stars. We've been over that. We've been over some of the rookies that we love. Some of the fantasy situations that are a little precarious right now. Jacksonville. I don't like that Maurice Jones-Drew is being forced to hold out. I think this is another example, despite new ownership, of how NFL teams overthink things and they get cute and they eliminate the emotional side of the business and they forget that athletes are people. And the reality here is that Maurice Jones-Drew went out last year on a team he knew wasn't going to win more than three or four games, if they were lucky, with a terrible quarterback, which allowed them to put eight and really the only team in the league they were able to put nine in the box against. I mean, Gabbert wasn't even Debo. And Maurice Jones-Drew went out 16 weeks in a row and took an absolute pounding. Pounding! Kept his positive attitude and had a career year and won the rushing title. Now, Jacksonville is a dead franchise. I am Khan, and I buy Jacksonville. Well, when you buy a football team, what's your first order of business? What's your first priority? Take care of your stars. Make sure you have the right stars, and if they are the right stars, take care of them. And if they are not, trade them for draft picks. Period. There's not much more simple, straightforward situations in professional sports. Good guy, superstar, pay him. Bad guy, superstar, trade him for picks. Or future players, or future value, whatever. That's an axiom that every GM knows. Even fantasy GMs know this. So why do you come in and squabble with this guy? Why don't you give him some guaranteed money? He's the only face you have on your franchise. He's the only thing that keeps anybody paying any attention to Jacksonville outside of the city of Jacksonville. Okay? 32 jerseys on Jacksonville, the only ones they need to print. Nobody looks at Jacksonville's box score other than to see what Maurice Jones-Drew's stats are. Nobody leaves a Jacksonville ball game on TV other than to see Maurice Jones-Drew run. And nobody cares about the Jaguars at all other than Maurice Jones-Drew. So why aren't you paying this guy? He's the only chance you have. And if you're not going to pay him, then do him the dignity of trading him. Gene Smith's the worst GM in the league. This is the one guy who should have traded for Tebow and didn't. Matt Forte, same situation. The Bears, they come in, new brass. They trade for Brandon Marshall. I thought that was a great job. And then what do? They go sign Michael Bush to give them leverage. Again, wrong move. You've got a top five NFL back. He is the best running back in the league receiving the ball out of the backfield, other than Darren Sproles, but I don't think you can categorize Sproles in the same league with Forte. But Forte can take that ball out of the backfield just as easily as he can hand it off to him. And I'll never forget when I first watched him play a couple years ago and I had him as my breakout star. See, there's another Priest Holmes. I had him out of the draft. It was because when I watched the first series the Bears played with him, on his first series on the field, there were 11 snaps, and he took seven of them wide, out wide, not in the backfield. That's when I knew this guy was going to be a huge pro back, because he can catch the ball that way. But Forte is in a situation where they are treating him like dog meat, and there's no reason for it. Maybe Obama's going to eat him. He's a Chicago guy. I just can't help it. I just think it's comical that they're making so much fun of Romney and the dog, and Obama ate dog. And if you did eat dog, I mean, who's Obama's advisor that said, yeah, that's a good idea, disclose that? Who disclosed that? And was that just an error? Because if it is, it's monumental. I mean, one thing, this, honestly, the fact that he ate dog, as stupid as we are in this country, that could be enough to lose him the election. Just the fact that he ate dog. And dog owners, even if 5% of dog owners get so offended by that that they don't vote for him, that's the swing. The election's over the other way. So all this crap that they've been doing to rally up support amongst women saying that the Republicans are trying to destroy their uterus, that is going to be muted by the fact that Obama ate dog. And it is a dog-eat-dog world. I wish Matt had some three-dog night or something from the soundtrack of A Dog Day Afternoon. But instead, this dog is just going to play his musical stylings, and we're going to break.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports. What if there was a program that brought the best in sports and the best of entertainment together in one place? It can be done. And Darnell Autry proves it every week on Outside the Spotlight. In this program, athletes and artists come together to share their success stories, hobbies, professional projects, and more that will interest not only the sports fan, but fans of entertainment and other human interest stories. If you have something you want to ask your favorite athlete or entertainer, listen for Outside the Spotlight, Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America Sports.
Tune in to a show about making a comeback and what really goes on behind the scenes with your favorite athletes and beyond. Listen for The Comeback Radio Show with Tony Farmer. A lot of people believe what they read on the internet, hear and see in the media, and on the news. We're going to give our guests the chance to tell the real story without the extra hype. It's not just sports, although that will be a focal point of the program. We'll also look at the world of celebrities, music, modeling, and more. Listen every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at
the shot. Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
Well, in the beautiful game, football, Lionel Messi, we always read about or see highlights of him being absolutely unbelievable. He made a big mistake in yesterday's game, and the team lost. So Barcelona lost to Chelsea, which to most of you means nothing. But to people who are real soccer fans, this is a big deal. Barcelona's two-time defending champ. Best team in the world. Most of the Spanish Olympic, or rather World Cup team plays for them. Real Madrid too, but a lot of them on Barcelona. And now they are down to Chelsea, and they've got to win by two goals in order to move forward. So it'll be interesting. It will be interesting. I have nothing left to talk about. Really nothing to talk about. Although I'm reading through headlines just to see if there's anything to talk about, and I'm looking and I'm seeing that it says, Bartolo Colon throws 38 strikes, most since 1988. I thought he'd been out of the league since 1988. So that was news to me. The other news on Yahoo that I'm looking at right now is about, Jennifer Love Hewitt's boobs, which to me is always good news. And, nothing better than seeing her in a tight shirt, and God bless her for the way that she uses those things. Now, I was reading an article with her. Did you guys read this article with her while she talks about her, vajazzle? Do you know what this, this vajazzle stuff is? Apparently she puts Swarovski crystals down in that area so that it's jeweled, so that whoever gets the privilege of, well, anyway, let's get back to football. I'm trying to think in a way where we can talk about something that's worthwhile, and when it comes to football, I really have nothing at this point, so let's talk basketball. I want to talk about that Kentucky team, because I didn't get to talk to you about it yet. And really what I want to talk about that's amazing is, first of all, I was thrilled that Kansas ended up making a game of it. I know this is so far long ago that nobody really remembers anymore. But the thing I want to talk about, everybody's talking about all Kentucky, they're all going pro now, they're all going to be first-round draft picks and whatnot. John Calipari, look, first of all, everybody knows you can't just put five talented people out there, let them play, and they win. It does not happen. They might win most of the time, but they're not going to win a championship just on talent. Teams win championships. Talented teams have a better shot at winning a championship. But a team with no talent is more likely to have a shot at a championship than a lot of talent with no team. And again, when I say no talent, I still mean NBA level. So, for instance, no for instances. Why would I do that? No, I take a look at what's going on with Calipari. And clearly that Kentucky team was full of NBA athletes. What was really amazing to me was how fast they got up and down the court. And they got up and down the court in NBA speed. And Davis is like a Tim Duncan Jr. I mean, this guy has, what a pedigree. The fact that he could be the MVP of that game shooting so poorly and nobody questioned it. Nobody. He was just physically dominant. I watched the game with my father. I said to my father at the beginning of the game, I said, this whole game is going to come down to Davis. And if he's able, if he's as good as we think he is, then he's going to clear everything out around the rim, and nobody's going to be able to get a second shot and whatnot. And we watched the whole game. My dad thinks I'm the smartest basketball analyst in the world because Davis just dominated on the defensive end, blocking shots, pulling rebounds, all that. But again, why I'm talking about this is what I find so impressive is that John Calipari has been able to, in two different situations, he did it at Memphis too, even though they didn't win the championship, they should have. He gets these freshmen that know they're going to the NBA and know that they can go one-on-one at any time, or one-on-three really, at any time, and he gets them to play together. They really do play together. And that is a coaching accomplishment. That is coaching, getting your team to play together, being prepared, putting your team in a position to win, knowing where the weaknesses are and improving them, knowing the strengths, making them excellent. Calipari does this. His players are unselfish. His players play hard. His players listen to him and follow his pattern and his system. And now they won a championship. And I don't think it takes anything away from Calipari, the fact that these kids all go pro now. If anything, it's tougher to not be able to meld a team over a couple of years. It's great that you get five talented kids, but you got to make a new team right away. It's not a video game. There's real-life personalities here. People sulk. People have problems. People have trouble with their schoolwork. These guys break up with their girlfriend. They get upset. And Calipari has found a way to take these kids and make them into a college team that literally could compete. I mean, it's got to be the 33rd NBA team. They really could have. I got to tell you something. They might have gone 4-78 or whatever it is. They might have won a game or two, though. I think on a third night of a road trip, a tired, terrible NBA team like Washington could totally lose to Kentucky. I mean, is John Wall really any better than Teague? Is the whoever's playing center for Washington any better than Davis? No, come on. Anyway, should we talk about Obama and the dog again? I don't know. I don't know. This is trouble. We talked last week about masturbation, and that was a lot of fun. And Matt says I should just talk about that now since I have nothing to talk about. but I'm more interested in the stats. I read some. Do you want to know what's hysterical? More people admit to masturbating at work than admit to picking their nose at work. Come on. Everybody's picked their nose. You know, there's all the different versions. I mean, you know, come on, there's the flick. There's the, the rub, where you know, you gotta kind of twitch your nose and you're kind of subtle. You ever been in a meeting and you got a painful one up there? You gotta figure out how to get it out, but you can't touch it. Yeah, that's bad. More people admit to masturbating at work as if that is more acceptable than picking your nose at work, which is just hysterical to me. And, you know what they say? You can pick your nose, you can pick your friends, you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend's nose. Now, with masturbation, apparently, it's the opposite, because mutual masturbation, I just read, is on the rise. 73% of people surveyed in between the ages of 18 and 49 report to having mutual masturbation sex with their partner at least once in the past 30 days. That's pretty amazing if you think about it. That used to be my pen. That used to be like my signature in college. Oh yeah, I'd like to see that. That's what they used to make me do for them. No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, this is the thing. that with masturbation, what we've learned, what is not acceptable is wiping boogers under your desk. Totally fine. Get a tissue and have fun. Fantasy Insights Radio has degenerated to the point where I am kicking myself off of the air. I'm boring myself, guys. I can't do it anymore. It's been an hour. If I really want to have an hour show, I got to write an hour script, and I can't do that. I thought Smitty was going to join me, and I get to talk to him and tell him what a stupid commie pinko he is about these dumb issues, but he's not even here, so we can't talk. So with that, Matt's Musical Stylings will take you to the door, and next week is the NFL Draft. All football, all day, next week, leading you right in to the NFL Draft.
The weekend is coming up, and now you know what's going to make you a better fantasy player. Tune in again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, for more of Fantasy Insights on the Voice America Sports Channel. Don't forget to visit FantasyInsights.com, the best fantasy football site on the net.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.